Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Brian, a nation awaits. Everyone in bated breath wants an ice fishing expedition update. How did it go?
How do you think I did, Pete?
I mean, it seemed like you're having the time of your life.
An expert angler like myself, how many fish do you think I caught?
I think you caught, I don't know, two? Seems like a nice number.
That was too high.
Too high? Okay.
So I didn't catch any.
I want to guess one, but I know the answer is zero. Wow. Did anyone you were with catch any?
No. We didn't we didn't stay out there that long.
Lou, we all had faith in you. We thought you were an expert with your gloves, you did the photo. But basically you did what a lot of influencers do, and you got the engagement out there, and then but secretly you weren't even successful at what you were posting at.
No, it's true. Yeah, I was completely made it all up. I suck at fishing.
How did you, but it looked like you took my hot tub suggestion after.
Yeah, no, that was also fake. No, I it was a real picture, but I didn't get in.
Wow.
I might get in tomorrow though.
I'm actually excited because I'm leaving tomorrow to go to Tahoe for the weekend with my buddies, and we got a place that has a hot tub. So I'm very excited for a little snow action and a hot tub.
Nice. Is it outside hot tub?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. David says this new TikTok noise notification is driving me nuts. I'll ignore it for a few weeks before muting it. What is that? What's the notification?
I'm not on TikTok, David. I wouldn't understand.
I've actually logged on to TikTok a few times over the past, I don't know, month or so, but I still have not posted on TikTok in forever.
What's the, like, what do you get out of it? What's the utility?
The utility of TikTok, I mean, it's just a very digestible short form content. And the way they make it so you scroll is just like super seamless. The videos start audio playing and you just go one to the next. Like even on Instagram, you like are scrolling to profiles and then the content there, where this is just like video, video, video. And then their algorithm is insane. Like once you watch two videos of a certain kind of thing, they immediately know what you want and start feeding you more of it.
And it's just short form videos.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the cap, at least for, they do have like live stream stuff now, but for the most part, it's 60 seconds or less.
It's interesting. It's like the the rise of the 3-hour podcast or 20 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I heard Sal Vetri was talking about this on Twitter because he was working hard on his TikTok this season and he was getting like big ad deals to run like a 10-second ad on a 1-minute video on his TikTok. Which is it like interesting just to think about. I mean, I personally love that. You think you have an ad and it's like, all right, I'll just do your ad in 10 seconds. Just, you know, check out blah, blah, blah. And then we move on to our video. It sounds nice. Get in, get out.
Sure. Why not? Is that really like, I always thought that was like pretty young. Is that really a demographic that like spends money?
Well, I mean, that demographic I think is coveted for, you know, a lot of kind of, I think, emerging markets and stuff like that. But yeah, I guess it's, I don't know. I don't know how that would work as far as sports betting companies, DFS companies exactly, but they seem to value that demographic for whatever it is. And I would guess that Sal's demographic on there skews a little bit older than say maybe the normal TikTok user. Yeah. I also think TikTok is now kind of going through that phase where, you know, in the same way Facebook or the initial Facebook used to be, all right, this is just college people. And then it's like Twitter is just people posted what they were eating for breakfast. And TikTok was just girls dancing in yoga pants. And I feel like it's now evolved past that where there's so much going on there that I think we probably still are anchored to what we initially thought TikTok was.
Yeah, I'm sure that if they're spending money, they know what they're doing. Well, you'd think.
The other thing that's interesting about TikTok compared to like Instagram is just on Instagram, there's no organic growth. Whereas TikTok, like you can still have a video go viral with their stuff just because their algo's so good and it'll push it out into these different corners of the internet where Instagram's just like, build up your audience. We don't give a fuck.
Hmm. I mean, are you going to put any time into any alternatives besides Twitter and Instagram? And
yeah, the thing is you can kill a lot of birds with one stone because TikTok, YouTube Shorts, and Instagram are all portrait style videos. And so I don't know, I've been thinking a lot about it. And I want to hire like a part-time video editor this year. Basically with the thought being I make so much content and then it more or less dies on the vine, and to be able to have somebody to help me repurpose it into clips, all they need to do is make one clip and I can post it on 3 to 4 different sites. And I just personally haven't had the time to tackle that. So that's one of my big kind of early off season to-do list things.
Yeah. Good luck with that. It's always tough getting somebody.
Yeah. Luckily I have a couple good leads I'm hopeful on. I've actually already started talking to someone that I'm hopeful. So yeah, we'll see, but I'm at the point now where I'm like ready to make a serious investment in it. You know, like this year I just kind of got stuff done. And now I'm ready to kind of invest back into some more kind of long-term stuff that I think would help.
Good luck.
I mean, I assume you're referencing your kind of experiences with developers and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think it's just in general, like, I mean, it's not like I have a ton of experience, but like, hiring someone, especially when it's like out of pocket.
Yeah.
Finding someone who's really good and works out well is pretty tough. Like, I think employees don't know how much leverage they have a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like if you're good,
yeah.
Like your boss isn't going to find somebody else. It's not that easy.
Right.
Right. I'm not saying like if you're flipping burgers, obviously they could probably replace you, but if you have some sort of skill, it's tough. It's tough finding somebody who's like, I don't know. Cause I go like the Upwork route or whatever, you know, any of those Fiverr, I'm sure they're all the same. You're going to burn through a bunch of people.
Well, that's not my strategy. I'm going for people I know, you know, who have already seen their work, who are familiar with my stuff, who are familiar with kind of the space and stuff. So, you know, I'm hopeful that something works out on that because yeah, I've gotten the emails from different companies like that are like, hey, let us do it. And the funny thing is they say they'll do a free trial video. And I say, okay, all right, here's this video. Here's what I want. Let me see it. And like, they did such a shitty job. They didn't understand what I was going for, but it was like a free trial. And that is to your point of why I think it needs to be more kind of hyper specific, someone that is kind of familiar with my stuff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you could find someone like that, that'd be perfect. And they're even more valuable to you specifically, because then they'll probably know DFS and fantasy football and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So we will see. It is on my to-do list. It's one of those things now where, you know, being your own, you know, boss and taking care of things, it's like I can do all the stuff for me, but then this is a whole new frontier for me of starting to think about making like a relatively serious hire in a way. And so it's just a whole new, you know, kind of territory to think and learn and figure out how to do it right.
Yeah. And it's probably a big, you know, portion of what you're going to make too. Like,
yeah,
you're going to cut out of your bottom line.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. Cause I think too, you know, if I was starting, you know, a regular business, what are your kind of startup costs? It's like, well, I need a space to work, so I'm renting an office space or whatever. Like, to me, this is going to be my biggest expense and something that I'm putting money back into whatever this is, I guess.
It's a hell of a lot different when it's not your own money. It's not your own money. Like, if you're a manager or something, like, yeah, all right. Even that's kind of a pain. Like, my buddy was telling me about how he hired this guy and he needed a code, like someone who could code in a specific language. And so the guy gave this presentation, he coded in the language, hired him, loved him. And like a week in, he started noticing, I don't think this guy can code at all. Yeah. Like, he totally swindled him.
Yeah.
And like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, it was completely apparent that this guy just totally bullshitted and had some presentation somehow that he did, you know, he stole from someone in college or something like that. And he had to fire him, but it's not that easy, you know, after you hire someone to like get rid of them that well.
Yeah.
And it's not even his money, right? It's his boss, whoever owns the business's money. But it's still tough. There was another one. I heard a podcast, I'm blanking on who it was, but they hired someone over the phone and they were a foreigner. And when they got there to the country, it wasn't the same guy.
God.
I guess this kind of happens a decent amount of the time. Like, they'll, cause they, you know, someone speaks English, you know, much better or something.
Yeah.
And so like the communication barriers aren't there, and then they just hand the phone over, and then you get there and it's somebody completely different.
Yeah. No, it is crazy too, thinking back to more, you know, the nice thing about, you know, Twitter and doing public facing content and also like looking for an editor is like the resume is going to speak for itself, right? Like, I'm going to be able to see the stuff they've edited. I'm probably going to have similar circles with them where I can, you know, check sources and stuff. Where I think back to even at my old job and some of my boss's missteps with hiring. And like, I sat in on those interviews of people we were hiring, and the wool that they could pull over your eyes too, where like, I have pretty good interpersonal skills. I think I can sniff a lot of that stuff out.
Yeah.
And some people just are incredible at interviews. And then you realize, oh my God, this was a snake oil salesman who can't actually do what they said they could do. But then you hire these people for a year contract, and you're just like trusting that what is on this piece of paper and what they say in an hour interview is correct.
Can you imagine like the 70s and 80s? Guys must've just been lying on their resumes. Like, there's no way you could tell that I graduated from some made up college. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
people must have just made all that shit up.
Oh, I am sure.
Relentlessly. I just liked the video of someone did like a deep fake with Bernie Sanders interviewing Elon Musk. Did you see that? I didn't think it's that viral.
Is it pretty convincing?
Oh yeah, it's very convincing. And it's funny, it's a joke.
Yeah.
And but anyways, the reason reminded me of this conversation is like, you know, Bernie's of course like, no, we need to tax these guys and blah, 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 blah. It's like, do you know how fucking hard, and not like I'm an expert, but like, it's hard to run a business. Like, it's hard to hire people. And all it is no, they're greedy. Businesses are greedy. Fuck them. And it's like, okay, all right, you do it. I have barely any experience in it, and I think it's pretty fucking hard. Yeah. So I can't imagine someone who's got like 100 employees or something.
Yeah, no, for sure. All right, we got a lot of we got some questions in. We decided, you know, why don't we throw something out on Twitter, see what the people kick back to us. I mean, kind of on this time. I mean, this question I both hate, and I think it's a very funny question. Sports Projections, who also I reference his site a lot because he has that really nifty dupe tool where you can upload your showdown lineups and it'll quickly show you the amount of dupes you had in your lineups. He says, who would last longer, Pete as a full-time DFS player who wasn't allowed to do content, or Brick as a full-time influencer who wasn't allowed to play DFS? Does this question make you feel as awful as it makes me feel thinking about it?
No. At all. I think it's kind of an interesting question.
All right. So where are you on this?
I don't know. I kind of wanted you to answer first. I also thought that'd be a fun poll. It would have been a fun poll.
Kind of random stipulation about this. So like when he says like wasn't allowed to do content, does that mean Twitter? Because like I don't think of people who don't like to meet content is do you make videos, podcasts, any kind of thing? Like I don't count Twitter as content, even though it's content. What do you think on that?
Yeah. I think you can count Twitter as content if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But I understand if you don't feel like you personally want to count it, that's makes sense to me too.
Yeah, because I'm just thinking, you know, there's people like say even before you started doing say LOLs and your YouTube channel with some of your videos, like you still had like a Twitter presence where I'm even guessing saying, all right, you can't tweet at all, you can't interact, or you're not interacting with people online, you're just completely in the shadows, whatever that is, Chipotle addict style. I'm guessing that would even bum you out taking that away from you as a pro player.
Not now, but like, yeah, honestly, before I started with you, I'd barely even tweeted. Mm-hmm. Like I just started a couple months before. I had no public profile at all. I was on Twitter. I probably had like 6 followers.
Yeah.
And I didn't do any content at all. But I mean, it would bum me out now. I think I have an answer now too.
Okay. I was just going to say the other thing to understand this question is this assuming like you and me both start at zero too with like our money?
That is a question, but I think the way it's phrased, it doesn't matter for my answer because he says influencer for me.
Yeah.
So that I think locks up me as the short end of the stick. Like I wouldn't last longer because influencer, like, because that's not like, okay, if like you said, the question would have to be if it's not influencer, if I could do whatever I want, then I could like sell my stuff or something. You know what I mean? And so then maybe I can last. But if I can't do that, I would make nothing on YouTube and the pod download. You know what I mean? Like we have the numbers. People don't know this. But like if you monetize your YouTube channel and like Pete's is like, you know, 10 times as big as mine. But like it's not a ton of money. So like I would have to get a job.
See, I mean, I think I would have to get a job too, but I do agree it's harder to start from scratch with content to make a living. Whereas, you know, I at least know how to play DFS. I think I would be able to scale my time in a way to get better. I would probably figure out like some very specific game types and stuff where I thought I had an edge and really try to press those. But man, starting content from zero and being like, make money. I mean, it took me years and years and years and years. That would be really hard.
Right. To make enough money. Yeah. I mean, it depends on what's influence or what would I be allowed to do and stuff like that. But I'd be done after a week. I mean, there's no way I would make enough money to pay any bills. So like, I would give up where you could like, you could theoretically try it for a couple months at least. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, there is one other interesting wrinkle about this is your startup costs as an influencer would probably be much less than mine trying to get enough volume down to be a DFS pro while also not having risk of ruin.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you could just do it. You could do TikTok for free.
We just a real quick departure from this because this is hilarious. David says, I'm a mega fish thinking the LOLs meant League of Legends DFS. I mean, that's what this show, what the bedrock foundation of this show is League of Legends, David.
Yeah. It was a little Pete's little play on words kind of back when we first started.
So you're not a fish. Now you might be wondering, where is my League of Legends content, but we're a very versatile podcast. We don't get ourselves pigeonholed into one vertical.
Yeah. We were the number one League of Legends DFS podcast for a while there, I'm assuming.
We were. Never forget, March and April of, 2020? Yeah.
It's been going on for 2 fucking years now. Oh my God.
That's insane. Yeah. It's still absolutely insane.
It's insane.
Yeah. So, man, I think this question is so, because I think both of us are motivated and headstrong enough that we would find a way to make it work. Like, I think you're smart enough that you would come up with an angle or a hook or something kind of new as a way to do content and do it. But I don't think either of us, even though we're willing to work hard, it would feel painful because we would be really working against what we do best.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Definitely painful. How much would it, you have, let's say you have to start, well, yours is easier, I guess, DFS. For me, I'd have to start influencer and something. How much would it cost you to like take that bet? Like, let's say, you know, I don't even know how to phrase that, but you know what I mean?
For you to be like, make a living influencing?
Yeah, just like, okay, you got to spend 2 years or a year trying to make it influencing. And yeah. For you, I guess, what would it be? Just, you have to take the risk, give up all your YouTube stuff, no tweeting, whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to play for 6 months or a year DFS with your own money.
I want to live in a world where my online footprint is zero and people are bitching about me sitting in three mans, you know, like, that,
I mean. you just, it's just you and Mach Levin. You're just making a killing. You're like, this is the greatest decision of my life.
Well, see, Brian, these are the loopholes, right? Where who within the industry would we kind of turn to? I mean, yeah. Mach Levin would be a perfect partner for someone in my spot in this bet.
You know, that's true, because you have a huge advantage, because I guarantee if you talk to Alex or somebody, you're like, come on, I have this bet. I got to do this for a year. Can you give me some help? You know what I mean? Someone would probably really help you out.
Or what if on your side, you know, someone like Doug Polk is like, hey, heard about your bet. You want to be my, you know, Tony Reale stat boy on my podcast. Then you go in that route.
Because if you luck into whatever, someone's like, okay, you could be on our show once a week. Like, you're set, basically a huge podcast.
Yeah.
That obviously, that seems pretty unlikely. But yeah. Grinding 8 videos a day and something, like, and I'd have to like figure out what it's going to be. God, that sounds rough.
I do know the high stakes DFS players would be very happy if we took this prop bet on, because it removes you from the lobby and then puts me into grinding every single slate. That'd be a big win for them.
Well, who knows?
This one, I feel like we've talked about it a little bit. This question is hard for me to be passionate about because I don't feel strongly about Boston, but Tim Williams says, it's finally time to decide what city is better, Chicago or Boston, pros and cons for sports, DFS, food, rent, time zone. I live in Boston, but maybe moving out of the land of deep dish in AL NL baseball, out to the land.
Yeah. That's a little tough. Like, this is not a good time for me to be a homer. I'm not super happy with Chicago right now. So, I mean, I don't know. How do we want to answer this? Like, homers or, I mean, I've only been to Boston like once.
Okay. And I was going to say, I've been to Chicago twice, but just like 3-day trips. I have not seen like the extent of Chicago.
Yeah. Same as me. I mean,
I feel like they're comparable from just like what they offer as far as sports and entertainment and culture, climate even is relevant. Like, I do think they're a good comparison as far as their wavelength.
It's true. And the people, I think too, are kind of can hang out pretty easily. Like, I don't think you'd feel weird going to Chicago bars at all. And it's, there's a bar for every like team almost in Chicago. I don't know how it is in Boston.
Yeah.
Like they have the flag outside, like mainly colleges, you know, Ohio State, blah, blah, blah. So like you'll find places to hang out. Like, honestly, like the crime is like getting noticeable. Like they're put like even like the rich areas, like some people I know, like there's like a shootout like some car chasing another car, like, my ex's street, someone got shot and killed a couple months ago.
Goodness.
They think it was a drug deal. It's getting a little fucked up. And so they're putting like speed bumps. This is the solution. I was talking to this politician I know, and he's like, yeah, well, they're putting more speed bumps up, big ones too. So they can't like race through the neighborhoods and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I'm kind of trying to move out, honestly. This is kind of like a downer question that could have been a little fun. Well, he was probably looking for a Homer debate, but it's just not going to happen.
I will say, though, what he didn't even mention, you know, politics, direction of the city. He was more talk. I mean, I will say, you know, if you are a Homer sports fan, I mean, Boston, the better city in the 2000s. I mean, Chicago would have been insane to be there in the 90s, you know, with the Bulls.
The Hawks was pretty cool, too.
Yeah.
I worked downtown too when the parades were happening. So it was like pretty cool. You could see, look out and see all the people. And that was kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard not to say, you know, Boston for sports just because they've been on such an insane run the past, you know, 20 years. I mean, how far is Soldier Field from downtown Chicago?
Not far at all. You could walk there.
To me, that's a knock on Foxborough. It's like a legit 35 to 40 minutes with traffic outside of the city. I mean, the Garden and Fenway are obviously right in the thick of things. And that's cool. But I do ding Boston sports a little bit for the football stadium being so far out.
I liked, well, and also the ocean is different than a lake. You know, they're both cool to have though. I like Boston's, it's got more old school like look to it.
Yeah.
You know, the street, there's like cobblestone streets still and shit. And there's just barely any cobblestone in Chicago. And they're a lot closer together. It looked like more no alley type of living. You know, in Chicago, we have alleys.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's maybe where I was at. Who knows? Maybe there is alleys. So I thought Boston looked pretty cool.
One thing I like about Boston, and this isn't a counter against Chicago because I don't know how Chicago is, but Boston has these pockets with like extremely distinct character, but within the same, you know, 4 or 5 mile radius. Like when you go from Cambridge with MIT and Harvard and just feels like quintessential college area, then you hop over to Boston, which just has the hustle and bustle of a major metropolis. And then you can go right over to the North End, which you literally feel like you're in Italy. Just the way with the narrow streets and the cobblestone road. And so I like that you can feel like you're in these different areas within all within the same space.
Hmm. Chicago's more like you can pick, like, do you want to be in the high rise type of, you know, location, neighborhood type of location, and or a mix.
Yeah.
You know, another problem with Chicago, I don't know if this is happening in Boston, like every third business is closed. Like it's just an empty store. It's been happening a little bit before even COVID started, but COVID accelerated it. I haven't walked around too much lately, but like it's not only is it not just depressing, like that's like a big reason I moved there was the convenience, was to be able to just walk wherever and you get anything you want within, you know, a 5 minute walk. But then now it's just like business at, you know, every third business, it seems like, is closing. I mean, I'm sure there's people watching from Chicago and tell me I'm crazy, but it seems like there's just a bunch of them closed down. What's Boston look like on that front?
Sorry, on what front?
Like closed businesses, every other business, every third business. So
the crazy thing is too, I mean, I live like 20 minutes outside the city, and since COVID and even before then a ton, I used to go into Cambridge all the time for improv, but I don't go into the city hardly ever. So I don't feel like I have a good read on that. I do live on, off of a fairly busy street with a bunch of businesses, and most of those, are intact. There's been a lot of turnover, I would say, with restaurants and stuff, you know, giving stuff a shot and then it doesn't work out. But I don't know. I feel like the businesses are still mostly intact, just anecdotally.
Hmm. All right. And then the other thing, this is political, but I can't stand the fucking mandates. I think it's total bullshit. And so we have mandates to go anywhere.
yeah, your guys' stuff has been, I mean, we've been aggressive with, you know, right now with the, you know, reinstituting the mask policies, but your guys' were even more draconian than ours was, I want to say.
Yeah, it's, you have to have a double vax card to get in, which I have, but I still don't fucking like it. And who knows, maybe that'll change shortly and they'll just keep adding on to that. And I think their little loophole is if it's under 10 minutes, you don't have to do it.
Really?
Yeah. And I know why, because there's a powerful lobbying group called the Illinois Retail Merchants Association that I'm pretty sure I know, like, lobby that in there. It's like, okay, but not at Walgreens. Not at CVS, right? They can go in and out as long as it's under 10 minutes. They always put in like this, their own little loopholes.
Yeah. I feel like the other fun one on here is food. And we actually had, I think one time we had an argument where you were telling me that Chicago's Mexican food was up there, the greatest in the United States. And I think we met in the middle, there. Where are you at on Chicago food?
I don't know if Chicago's Mexican food's the greatest, you know, up there in the greatest United States. I just said most people don't know that we have like the second largest, Mexican population, and you just logically it's going to be good Mexican food.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the places.
Yeah.
I mean, we do have like some, you know, top 10 in the world restaurants. If you like, just go by the list of the people who know, like Alinea.
Yeah.
But like, I don't really go to those places that often.
Yeah. It's a weird one. I just would guess that Chicago has a slightly better food scene. You know, obviously New York has an incredible scene. I know Bales and Levitan like will stump hard for Philadelphia's food scene. Boston's I feel like is solid, but I wouldn't be like, oh my God, we are just swimming in all of this. In the way, I feel like Chicago has a little bit more of the kind of, you guys are a little bit more densely packed in, where there's more, like you were saying, even just like your alleys in your downtown, there's just way more restaurants within a concentrated area, I would guess, compared to Boston.
Yeah, I can't remember what Boston was like. It didn't seem, and we walked a decent amount, I guess, in Boston.
Yeah.
But yeah, you could easily go to spots where there's just, you know, 10 or 20 restaurants, not that far apart from each other, names you'd heard of.
Yeah.
And pizza's like, after watching Portnoy, his videos, yeah, or whatever, I guess there's a, like, I like the pub style pizza here in Chicago besides the deep dish. Yeah. I guess East Coasters hate it and they like the, you know, the East Coast style, New York style pizza.
Yeah.
And so like, okay, then you're probably not going to like a lot of the pizza joints around here as much.
Yeah. That makes sense. All right. Well, we are going to have to, this off season, we'll get the first ever,
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Wolves meetup. You know, happy to host Boston. We can do Chicago and, you know, settle this once and for all.
All right. I'm down.
What I picked off a few that I had caught there. Is it, were there any questions that jumped out to you?
Yeah, I had a couple. One, we have to, you know, I also went to Reddit to see if there's any that would, you know, wet our whistle.
Yeah.
But let's keep doing the people who actually watch us first. Rinpak, our guy, sent a message. This is a good question in general, but I guess it's not that applicable to everyone in the world. You have 100K in expendable cash. Where would you invest? What would you do with it tomorrow morning? And then he goes on, does it go to crypto, private deals, index funds, real estate? With sports betting taking off, do you think one could sustain a higher ROI? Okay, I guess these are two questions. Let's answer that first one.
Yeah, I do think it would be something crypto related. You know, even today I made another purchase of the coin Lux, which is that new OpenSea NFT marketplace competitor, where, you know, APR is still right now at 750%. The rewards have been pretty good. And
is that the rare one?
Yeah, Lux rare. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I actually just put some more money into that. So I think I would make a big move into one of these, you know, either staking, compounding, you know, DeFi protocols, where I feel like, you know, it would just be a good place to park a bunch of money right now and reap those rewards.
If you were going to give out financial advice, which you're not, of course.
No, never.
I think, well, first of all, 100K, how rich, obviously. Yeah. Kids just printing money left and right. And I'm thinking, like, how old is Rinpak? I'm like, late 20s, I'm going to guess.
Yeah.
So like he could definitely take a lot more risk. And then I was thinking, he's a gambler. He's going to take on all the risks. So I don't even know why he's asking me. I'm sure he's going to put it into some higher risk asset. But, you know, Bales had that post yesterday, whatever.
Yeah.
Not the actual post, but like his Twitter.
Yeah.
And I responded to him. He didn't answer me, but I asked him, like, how tied to the market, stock market, does he think crypto and NFTs are?
Yeah.
And will it decouple? Because to me, that's kind of the answer. Like, I think, honestly, this question's like, what's the meaning of life? Like, it's so hard right now. Like, even, like, oh, just put your money in an index or whatever. You know what I mean? The age old, to buy some land and put your money in an index. I still think that's even risky at this point. I think China and Russia's economies are not nearly as good as a lot of people think. Like, I think they could easily crash in the next, whatever, 6 months or a year. What effect is that going to have on ours? And I think ours is pretty bad too. And you know, the Fed's tightening supposedly, which is why the market's going down. But they could turn around and start printing again. Then what does that do?
Yeah.
And then drop the rates to zero again. What does that do? Go negative. And you got midterms coming up, right? Maybe they're like just trying to get inflation under control a little bit. And then come midterms, they'll start printing again or something.
Yeah.
Right. To like make everyone happy. So who knows how they're going to fucking do it. But if it does go, the latest I saw was that crypto is tied to, it was either Bitcoin or crypto, but whatever. What's the difference? Tied to the market, stock market, at like a 0.61R.
Yeah.
Which is pretty fucking high. So for people who know, one would be a full one would be, it's a directly correlate. When a stock market goes down, Bitcoin note goes down. So 0.61 is pretty damn correlated.
Yeah. I think too, the other thing about that hypothetical and whatever kind of your, you know, risk, you know, profile is for stuff, but with a chunk of change that much, you know, you don't have to be looking for insane multiples, right? You don't need 100x if you're investing 100,000 into something. Where I think if you have a smaller amount, you're probably generally playing a longer time horizon. You're trying to get that multiple over what, 20, 10 years, 5 years, or whatever it is. Whereas you have $100,000, I mean, you could hot potato it in one of these Ponzi, DeFi Ponzi's, and literally 2x it and you're sitting pretty.
I wouldn't be able to help myself. I would put like 5% in just some crazy shit for sure. But like that I don't know if everyone should do that.
No.
Here's another thing you could do is you get on like the right sites, like ones that won't go under, Kraken, you know, we think won't go under, Kraken, crypto.com. They're pumping a ton of money into that one. You know, Matt Damon wouldn't steer us wrong, would he? And then what's another one? Gemini, maybe. Anyways, they have, you know, decent interest rates, and especially on the stable coins.
On the stable coins.
So like you could just throw a decent amount, and if you can get 10-12%, depends on that, and you know, buy it when you think it's going down.
Willis says he's putting it all into Shiba.
That is definitely good. I mean, that's my preferred strategy.
Yeah, did you listen to the Doug Polk, Jason Strasser podcast from the other day?
You know, I haven't caught it. I they had one before I've watched, though.
Yeah. Well, at the end, I was actually just finishing up today, and they were talking about the stable coins and how it's a pretty good place to put some of your money, that a lot of the risks with it are pretty minimal. It basically would be like a catastrophic smart contract risk or something where it gets depegged. And it seemed pretty unlikely. And like you said, a lot of those stable coins, you can get pretty good interest rates on them. I've actually been thinking about putting some of my cash into more of the stable coins, where it's like you want to be in between a crypto thing, but also just not getting 0.03% in your bank account.
That's why I brought it up, because like I'm thinking of doing the same thing, like putting some, and you'd also don't have to pay cap gains on it because you haven't realized any equity. You'll have to pay on the interest. Whatever, it's free money. Essentially, you know what I mean? Like you're going to get nothing at Chase. So, which is a big reason why they probably want to fuck us and get involved in crypto. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And like, it's not hard at all. Like if you're on an exchange, to just sell and go back from USD coin or whatever, you know, stable coin back into Bitcoin. It takes literally seconds. It's very easy.
Yeah. Interesting question though, there from Rinpak. Neil Orfield asked, let me get this pulled up here. Because we did have a new episode of Chasing the Goat that was dropped today. I did watch it. He says, do you think Big T is actually saying let's go in these promos, or is he just saying let's go? I think this is actually a really interesting conversation.
Well, I mean, do you want to play it?
Well,
do you have it?
I can get one up.
We don't have to.
No,
but I can guess blind.
So this is the thing. The first time I heard him say it, I'm almost positive he said, let's goat with the T on the end, because it was really emphasizing it for the name of the show. However, I think recently when I've heard him say it, he's been not saying the T, even though it's implied, like in his head, he's not saying let's go. He's saying let's goat. But in the same way, Spanish people, like in Spanish, in Spain, they'd say no pasa nada. That's no big deal. They go no pa na. They just drop the end, and it's just implied that you know what they're talking about. I think Big T is just casually dropping the T, even though he is trying to say let's go. Does that make sense?
That's my recollection is kind of similar. It's he doesn't want to say it. So like the end, he kind of trails off and it's tough to tell.
I also think if you are doing the non-goat version of that, normally when I've heard people say it in real life, and I probably embarrassingly have said this myself, you normally say, let's fucking go. Like if I'm high-fiving my buddies after a betting, it's like, let's fucking go. I don't go, let's go.
Right.
Yeah. But if you're saying let's go, you literally have to do that.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's like when someone responds LOL when they're clearly not laughing. Like, you're not laughing. Like when you say let's go, like you have to fucking mean it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's great. Let's go.
And now here,
let's go. Like,
here's the follow-up question. Do you think Big T is willingly saying this, or are the producers saying like, hey, we need to nail the titular phrase of the show?
My guess was they were pushing it. They were pushing it. And so that's why he has this kind of like hesitated, let's go. I know Willis is saying he's definitely saying let's go. So maybe I haven't watched, you know, episode two was like 2 months ago.
Let me pull let me pull this up because I just want to show a clip. And what's so funny about this clip, Brian, is I was trying to post a screenshot of this in the Discord earlier, and my own Discord that I have the keys to said it couldn't be posted because it was inappropriate. Right. And I decided I didn't want to go digging through all the settings to do it. But that's, if that's not a tease for this clip I'm about to pull up, I don't know what is. The bots thought it was inappropriate. All right, let me find this clip. Alex tweeted it out earlier. All right, here's this. And then I'm going to tab over. Let's see here. Share screen, Chrome tab. All right. Here we go. It's Big T. Okay, this is the good stuff.
We don't have time for boats. If you want to win all the giblets, you need to get relaxed and get a massage first. Let's go.
See?
No, I went shopping with massage first.
Now you see where my theory's coming, right? He's not saying the T at the end of that.
Not saying the T there.
So watch what's more. So this was the picture I tried to put, and the censors thought it was pornographic, which maybe it is.
Yeah. You don't know what's going on back there.
All right, let's try listening to this one more time. I need everyone headphones on.
Time for boats. If you want to win all the giblets, you need to get relaxed and get a massage first. Let's go.
He doesn't say the T.
No,
I have one more. Is it giblets? I thought it was giblets.
This is like the GIF thing. I've always said giblets.
But he's it's his thing, so I guess he would know.
Yeah. I agree with Coney. It is almost a little D. Let's go.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't want to say it, but he doesn't want to piss off the producers.
Let's do it one more time.
I don't think he really does not want to say it. He knows it's not cool.
Let's go.
That time I did catch it just a teeny bit.
Yeah, if you think let's go goad in your head, it does kind of pop a little more.
Wow. This ended up being hey, he's Big T, the T is implied. I think that solves it. Someone also had asked about the best fit in this show. You know, I feel like Whistles, you know, he can pull off the, you know, Professor Blazer look here. This is like a Miami version of that.
Looks good.
What do you think about the Alex Steve Jobs?
Did they do a makeover? They did a makeover.
This is the Steve Jobs look right here.
Yeah, did he tell him like I want to look like oh my god, I'm gonna forget his fucking name. Chris, the lead singer of that emo band.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Alex did, as he, you know, mentioned to us, he had an emo band, so this isn't, you know, out of character for him. Why and now, Big, you knew Big T wasn't getting a suit. He was going to go straight for the streetwear stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Look at he's going to get the high-end sweatpants.
Oh, God, I hate that style. Hey, this is why you don't want to invite me to any of these things, because I just won't do it.
Brian, no, you would have, what store would, or what type of store would you have gone to? You would have done like the Big T thing, right? Gone to like a high-end streetwear brand.
Oh, he picked that.
Yeah.
I thought they forced it on him.
They forced them to go shopping, but I think I assume he got to pick some kind of style store he liked.
Is that Big T's wife or his stylist?
His wife.
Mm-hmm.
I can't picture you trying on that jacket. I literally can't even picture you trying it on.
Well, I mean, for a joke, I guess.
I really, DraftKings said Brian on one of these, we all deserve to see him go through all this song and dance. Oh my goodness. See, here they are all rolling in their new outfits.
Wait, Big T didn't change.
No, that he bought the hoodie, I think. The hoodie was new.
With the shorts?
Yeah, I think maybe he has new shorts on. I think those must be new comfy shorts because he normally will wear just general basketball shorts. So I do think those were high-end athleisure shorts.
Well, they weren't lucky, whatever they bought.
No. I would say of everyone, Alex probably went the least out of his normal, like You see Whistles and his thing and even Big T, and I'd be like, I don't think they would buy these. I mean, this just looks like something Alex had in his closet.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex was fine. Big T was obviously going for the Miami Vice thing.
Yeah. And Whistles here, I mean, he looks like a Miami drug kingpin in this photo.
Oh, those jeans.
Alex's stonewashed jeans. You're not a fan? Oh my goodness. Yeah, I would pay so much money to have you be in one of these DraftKings features.
So we got a couple more questions here, or I could go to the Reddit one.
No, pull up, name a question from the thread you like.
Sounds funny, and then it isn't. How does one prepare for a possible invasion?
What?
But then he goes on, which is not funny, where he's in Kiev and he's in Ukraine, and you know how like Russia's on their border or whatever.
Wow, I don't even see this question.
Huh?
I don't even see this question.
No, I said it was on Reddit.
Oh, on Reddit. I thought we were still in the thread. Sorry.
Oh, I thought wanted me to go to that one.
No, I thought that thread. We could get. I think it's better to get some of these questions for people.
Okay, let's answer regular ones. Okay,
Brian.
Let's finish Rinpak's one.
Okay.
With sports betting, I do want to like. I love answering like apocalypse, zombie, and shit like that questions. Okay. With sports betting taking off, do you think one can sustain a high ROI in sports betting? Higher ROI in sports betting than DFS. This is Rinpak too.
I feel like you are far, far more equipped.
Well, what do you think?
My guess is DFS will be way more sustainable because you don't have to worry about getting limited.
Well, you still have to worry about getting limited. You never know. I think the problem with sports betting is you'd have to join a syndicate or start your own. Mm-hmm. And that seems like, besides just the fact of figuring out how to win, that's just like a huge hoop that you'd have to do. But like, assuming you could pull that off, then sure, you can make a ton of money. With DFS, you could theoretically do a syndicate too. Like if they did start kicking us, booting us from sites, like we've talked about this a little bit before. Like if they start booting us, like you could do a syndicate, just like start buying people's accounts. Same thing, you know, have a stable.
Yeah.
So like it's still possible. I don't know. Like I'm not super bullish on the long term. I don't know what's long, like 10 years on either of them or DFS either though.
Would you say that to be successful at those two things would actually require maybe surprisingly different skill sets? Like you said, like maintaining a stable is a much different skill set than running sims for a bunch of different sports.
Yeah. Like that's why I'm saying like, you'd have to join a syndicate. Like you'd have to hook up with somebody who's already doing that or try to figure it out yourself. People have done it.
Yeah.
So there are of course different skill sets, but like whatever. You're still just trying to make money in gambling.
Yeah.
I think the rake is just so high in DFS. Like, and I don't see why it would go down. Same thing, you know, but with sports betting, technically you could bet like across the world. Where DFS, it's just DraftKings and FanDuel. And I mean, I guess Yahoo do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like, if you're talking on like a big scale anyways, in 10 years from now, I don't know. The games are all tough. I mean, this is another question I got that basically leads into it anyways, is which sport you think has the worst sophisticated, or actually this is kind of poorly worded. Which sport you think are plus EV and do you need a least sophisticated model for? Let's just answer the plus EV thing. I think they're all like getting really tough.
Really?
Yeah, I know. It's hard to say like if you've had like a bad year or a good year. Like in a specific sport. Like, no, it's still pretty easy. But like the floor is so high now with Alex and ETR and Justin Pham, you know, like the information everyone gets so easily.
Yeah.
But there are like, I mean, I see Petty Theft is crushing it still. Like the top guys, they're still killing it. But yeah. Like, if you were just like, what's the best sport to get into type of thing or something like that, it's like, good luck. Like, I don't think there's probably a lot of edge, especially if you're starting out in any of the major ones. And even tennis, there was a question. I think we saw a question about tennis. Alex updated his model, and it looked pretty good to me. I didn't dive too deep into it, but it was much better than what they were putting out there before. So like I would definitely get an Osmo subscription and try tennis, and then play tennis kind of like MMA, except it depends on what day of the tournament. Cause like if it's the first day, there's generally enough opponents where you don't have to worry about dupes, but it gets smaller and smaller to like more like an MMA style, and they play against each other. And like, so you want the winner. Like, you very rarely want the same two guys from the same match.
Yeah. And so so you're saying the floor for the opponents are much higher. So the places where you're going to be able to realize your ROI is in tournaments, but you're going to need a much longer time frame to be able to kind of realize that edge. And you're not going to have the higher safety net that you'd otherwise have with a really soft field.
Yeah, the floor is higher in tournaments too. I mean, like, if guys are just, you know, got an ETR and whatever, Osmo subscription, they update, average them, and throw a little randomness on there, like, it's not going to be that bad.
Yeah. You would
there'll be some bad ones in there, of course, or whatever, but like if you have some knowledge in game theory or whatever, some opinions or something, like you're not gonna be putting in just trash, you know what I mean? Like there's not gonna be a guy who should be 75% owned who's 20% owned, like that very rarely ever happens.
Yeah. You would be proud of me. I finally played some Yahoo on Saturday. I played that three game slate that they had, and the baller ended up having like 3K entries of overlay. I think it made it almost exactly rake free. And even playing that, like I had like 90% Darrell Williams, who did nothing. It was all Jerick McKinnon. I had like 40% CeeDee Lamb, and I still made money on there. And it was again one of those reminders of, man, playing in rake free contest it's just a whole different ball game.
So good luck.
Yeah.
Did you see Drico's question in our
Discord? Something about middle managers, yeah. Right?
See, that's, I'd rather answer non DFS questions anyway.
I know, but we gotta mix it in. People tune in for League of Legends and Sim Talk, and we gotta balance it.
So he says
what did he say?
I guess we're calling him out, but I doubt he cares. What are the best ways to deal with annoying middle managers?
Yeah.
Now you've had the most recent job of the two of us. So what do you think?
Yeah. And the reason it's hard for me is because mine was flip. My middle manager, I really liked. It was more the admin and the CEO where there was all the dysfunction. But I guess what I would say too is, like, first of all, you have to have a very zen approach, because I assume when you say annoying, right, whether it's their management style, how they talk to you, whether they're condescending or whatever, you're going to have to deal with some bullshit. But it's like, how can you reverse engineer what you want and then play the game accordingly, if that makes sense? Where I feel like you're going to have to deal with some stuff, but ultimately, if you can kind of play into what makes them tick, you know? If it's some, it's so hard to talk in generalities, but I'm trying to think like a style of middle manager that would be so annoying, and how you could maybe play that to your advantage.
It also depends on the person's situation too. Like, how many other alternatives can you do? Like, this is just my complete bias, of course, but like I always hated having bosses just my whole life.
Yeah.
And so I was always trying to find a way not to have a job. So like that would always be my goal, is like, okay, how can I get out of this situation in whole? But what about like What about like alpha, you know, giving them the alpha style, you know, just fucking.
See, I'm just going to assume most middle managers have a little bit of a power trip, right? Where they kind of get off on that. And
that's what I'm saying. You give them a fucking.
That seems like a combustible situation there, though.
They might, they'll back down. He'll fucking.
Brian wants so your advice is to go and just establish your dominance with the right.
Establish hook. Your dominance, and he'll fucking leave you alone.
Oh my goodness!
What? Either that, or just don't do anything. But then, if you don't do anything, like, and you know, this, if it's an annoying middle manager, they'll just be like, you know, okay, I need you to come in on Sunday. You know, like the Office Space guy. So like. But like a lot of guys, if you like don't provide good work, they just won't ask you anymore.
Yeah. One little trick I'm now thinking of, like a specific example, and this would be when like too much stuff is getting dumped on your plate or there's something controversial. Like one thing I would do is just say, you're basically saying, I don't care what we do. Here are the options, or prioritize these things for me. You know, these are the things I'm doing. Like you put it back in them and you say, this is the pros of doing it this way. This is the cons. Cause one thing I notice middle managers will sometimes do, it's like, you can't win, right? Like they're going to find a way to critique it. And so having them establish the rules or the parameters or whatever ahead of time to where they can't then move the goalposts on it is I think a good trick with power hungry middle managers.
Yeah, that is definitely, that's an, like a totally professional way to handle it.
Well, they always throw it and they're like, be like, well, what you're telling me to do now actually goes against something we had talked about not doing 6 months ago. So I need you to say which one of these is more important, because there is an opportunity cost to this decision you want me to make.
Listen to this. I worked with this guy. He wasn't my boss, but I guess he was technically above me. And he got sanctioned. I'm trying not to call it. He got sanctioned by his boss, let's just say, for bullying. And then we all had to have like this bullying meeting. Like, you know how they do that? Like when something goes wrong and then they go, okay, here's this. This is what bullying is. And you can't say this and you can't say that, that type of shit. And I was thinking, like, how would you handle that? So this guy's like, I don't know, 5'10", overweight, bald, white guy in his 50s. And he's bullying you. What do you do there?
Yeah. I mean, where it's one of those things where it's like, you don't actually feel threatened by this person, but you're also like, this isn't a sustainable workplace environment dynamic for me.
See, the guy he was bullying, he couldn't alpha him. It wouldn't have worked. But like, so obviously he must have went up above.
Yeah.
He must have documented it something. So that's a little extreme, I guess, since this guy, there was a sanction against him for bullying. Can you fucking, an adult fucking male? Oh my God.
We need to wrap up in a second, but it does. So once at my job, I got someone told on me to HR because I made a joke in a group email. Our boss, our middle manager boss, was actually inviting us to her house. We did like an annual cookout, like in the fall, and she wanted to have the team over, and she scheduled it on Sunday. And I remember saying to her, I was like, I said, I'm going to have to respectfully decline. I hope you guys have a great time, but I do not hang out with coworkers during the football season. Like I was being overtly aggressive. Like she knew I was joking and she knew I did football stuff in this, but this new coworker of mine didn't get that I was like joking with how I was like, there's no chance in hell I'm attending this, and went and told HR that I was talking disrespectfully to our boss in that message.
Fuck does that?
And I was like, you could pull up the email. I'm not ashamed of the email I sent, but he, not understanding the tone of my joke, thought I was being disrespectful. So
was this a guy or a girl?
A guy, yeah.
A guy did that.
He wasn't long for the company.
Pussy.
Yeah. It was
hilarious. My God. Fucking loser. I hope you see this, you fucking dork. God. That guy's going to end up being an annoying middle manager somewhere. So.
Oh, yeah. All right. For sure. Well, this was good. Always appreciate getting your questions. We can do more shows like this in the future. Brian, any final plugs for you now that you are a full-time influencer?
It depends on the size of the bet, I guess. I got PGA ownership up. Some people were asking me that in the Discord. If you want PGA ownership on my website, brick75.com, it's free. And I have a sports betting app that works. If people like betting props and they have like an ETR or established a run or their own projections, you can overlay it nice and easy on there.
One of these weeks, we should you should do the screen share. We should fly around and make some live bets on the show.
Cool. All right. Yeah.
All right, guys. We'll be back next Wednesday. Audio will be up in a bit. Come hang out with us in the Lulz channel in the Deposit Kingdom Discord. We'll see you guys next time.
How to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.